This is the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's John Stashower.
Alex Myers is with Golf Digest. Check him out on Twitter at AlexMyers3. He joins us the morning after John Rahm's victory in the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. Alex, there's a lot to unfold after what we saw yesterday. But we'll get to the guys who didn't win because there's a lot of stories there. But let's start with the guy who did win. I know John Rahm, you know, was a very successful golfer at Arizona State. He's been very good as a pro. I guess this was expected of him. I mean, is this a guy that you guys like you had been hearing about way back, even when he was at Arizona State?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he was one of those guys who, when he was in college, even you hear this guy's PGA Tour ready, and you know, kind of that kind of came out last year when he ascended to world number one. Phil Mickelson revealed he'd actually made a bet with a fellow PGA Tour player, Colt Knost, who's now a commentator, that John Rahm would get into the top 10 of the world ranking within 1 year of turning pro. And that is basically unheard of. And John Rahm did that. And Phil Mickelson won that bet, of course. That's why he liked to share that story. But that's just how much talent he had. And, of course, Phil Mickelson's brother, Tim Mickelson, was his coach at Arizona State. So that's why Phil was so familiar with him. He got to play a lot of rounds with him, in Arizona, and he was amazingly, you know, impressed with this young man. So certainly it's almost surprising it took this long for him to win a major, considering how quickly he ascended the ranks and got to world number one. Now he's back at world number one.
Yeah, Phil made a bet. Stunning that would happen. Yeah. You know, yeah, and Rahm talked about Phil's win at the PGA kind of inspiring him. But you know, I said earlier this morning, you know, how, you know, look, it's amazing these golfers. It's amazing to see DeChambeau, you know, hit a ball 390 yards or whatever. But also the way these guys can read green. So I'm watching Rahm in the sand trap on the 72nd hole. And his feet are lined up like, wait a minute, where is he trying to hit this ball? He seemed to be aiming to the hole. And it worked. He got it out in a place where he was in a position to make the putt, and he made the putt. What'd you make of the way he played that 18th green?
You know, it was amazing because he hits the perfect drive there, and you're thinking, okay, this is a lock. He's going to make a birdie here. And then I think he just got a tad too aggressive with that second shot, and he missed it in a spot that you really can't miss it in that bunker, and he was on the downslope. And I don't think what people can realize there is if he aims at the hole there and he hits it just a tad thin, that green, the ball can roll right off that green and into the water, and you can make a disaster, and you know he could go down as an all-time choke job. So I give him a lot of credit there for aiming well, like you said, well right of the hole, not even taking it on, and giving himself at least a chance. Now, that still wasn't an easy putt, and considering he had just made an even tougher one the hole before, the fact that he made those two consecutive putts like that, I mean, the odds would have been 1 in 100 probably. But, he was very cool under pressure. He didn't get too excited there. He took his medicine, and he ended up making the putt, and it's now the stuff of legend. So just a well done by John Rahm on that last hole.
So, you know, while Rahm is a great story, and it was incredible to see him holding a three-month-old infant as he walks off, and we all know what happened 2 weeks ago, you know, at the memorial.
Sure.
I think Alex, and the big story also is the guys who were in contention and didn't win. Let's start with Rory McIlroy, who is still, we know, an incredibly talented golfer. But, Alex, it's been 7 years. You know, he wins four majors,
yeah,
and now he goes 7 years without winning one, two bogeys and a double bogey on the back nine. What's going on with Rory in these majors?
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about the odds of Rahm making those last two putts. I think the odds are even longer if you went back 7 years and said Rory McIlroy wouldn't have another major by now. I mean, the guy won four majors by the time he was, 25 years old. He was clearly destined to be one of the all-time greats, and it's just been a bunch of things. I mean, he's still won plenty of events in that time. He's won PGA Tour Player of the Year a couple times, a couple FedEx Cup titles. He's finished so high in the majors over and over again. He just can't close the deal anymore. And, you know, he finally made a switch, a coaching change within the past year, and he's made some pretty significant changes. So it was actually a surprise to almost see him back in this position, and a pleasant surprise because we thought, well, it might take him a while to kind of get back into this. So on one hand, it's got to be a confidence builder for him to get back in the mix so soon after making some of these changes. But on the other, you're right. I mean, just another missed opportunity for him, as, you know, we're kind of eating up a lot of his prime here with those 7 years, and to not win a major, a guy of his caliber, it's pretty stunning.
All right, let's talk about DeChambeau. I imagine this has happened in history, although I don't know about an Open. I mean, the guy he had sole possession of the lead, Alex, on the back nine, and he finished 26th. How does that does not happen very often.
It's amazing. And you know, Rahm's spectacular finish will kind of cover up a lot of that. But had, you know, a lesser name won, probably, I think the focus would be more on DeChambeau's collapse, because that is what it was. I mean, he almost makes a hole-in-one on the eighth hole. He grabs the lead. Like you said, he still had it going to the back nine. And just, I mean, a 44 on the back nine. Just for a guy who had sole possession of the lead, who hadn't made a bogey in over 30 holes in the U.S. Open. And also keep in mind, of course, he's the defending champ. So we know he likes this style of golf, this style of course. He can play. He dominated at Wingfoot last year, won by 6 shots. So to have the switch flipped that quickly and that violently, and you know, you're seeing him hitting blading shots over the green and you know, missing putts and everything else and hitting it off the map and into hazards, it was a stunning collapse. I mean, this wasn't some guy who has never been in that position before. I mean, this is a guy who expected to be in this position, took that position, and then completely gave it away. So, you know, afterwards, he kind of just blamed it on a string of bad breaks, which is bizarre. I mean, of course, that's ridiculous. It's some terrible shots under pressure, and maybe he's just trying to, you know, in his own head at least, make himself feel better. But, yeah, to fall from first to outside the top 25, one of the more crazy collapses I could recall.
Yeah, I'd love to blame every one of my bad shots on just a bad break. I mean, yeah, I hit the ball. I'm the one who hit it. I can't blame anyone else but myself. Alex Myers of Golf Digest with us here at Sports Map Radio. So I guess, you know, advantage Brooks Koepka, because, I mean, he was a little up and down yesterday, but he certainly finished much less embarrassingly than Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, what did you make of, I mean, I guess it's still an ongoing thing, and we haven't heard the last of Koepka versus DeChambeau, but what do you make of all that?
Yeah, we definitely haven't. I'm sure Brooks was chuckling to himself somewhere last night when he saw that Bryson ended up finishing below him on the board when it looked like he was not only going to beat him but beat everybody and cut into that major lead he has. But no, these are clearly two guys who don't really like each other much. And you know, I actually thought the whole Brooks giving beer away to the fans who heckled Bryson, I thought that was a little much. I think that maybe crossed the line. But other than that, I don't mind a little rivalry here and there. It seems like most of these guys are too chummy, if anything. And, you know, just to have a little rivalry, to have a story that transcends golf and gets out there. I mean, you know, the day after Phil Mickelson wins the PGA, and that should be the story of the year, you get that eye roll on that leaked video, and that just bumps Phil right off the front page of all the websites. So people jumped on this rivalry. It's too bad that they weren't able to play together throughout the tournament. I know some people were hoping for that. But no, it's definitely something to look forward to as the years go on, because they're obviously both great players and they're both, you know, very young still.
You know, we'll see what the ratings were. And I know they were going, you know, a little bit against the NBA at some points. But in a tournament, obviously without Tiger, you know, Phil was not a factor. I just thought it had so much, was so compelling, so many storylines where you had big names, you know, not so big names. You had a crowded leaderboard, then it dwindled down. I mean, I would assume that there were a lot of eyeballs yesterday. What do you think?
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, you know, like you said, no Tiger, no Phil. You know, Jordan Spieth was out of it. I think those are kind of the three biggest draws still. But certainly Rory, certainly Bryson, certainly Brooks. You know, at one point yesterday, there were 10 or 15 guys who could have won. And almost all the names were just these brand names that, even the casual golf fan knows. I mean, so it was a spectacular leaderboard. And then, in about a 30-minute period, you had, you know, 7 to 8 guys just completely come undone, which you kind of like to see at the U.S. Open. I mean, but it was amazing how many guys played themselves into contention, how many big stars, too, and then how many just completely played themselves out of contention in a short time. But, I would imagine that the ratings will be pretty good because you had a stacked leaderboard and everything else. But, of course, it's not going to measure up to the Tiger, anything that Tiger ever did. But, no, it was a great tournament. You know, Torrey Pines took a lot of heat for not being this great course, but let's face it, it's produced the 2008 U.S. Open, which Tiger won on a broken leg, and now it's produced this U.S. Open won by Jon Rahm against a stacked leaderboard. So we've had two great tournaments when that course is hosted.
Yeah, I thought for sure we're going to head towards a playoff, like you said, where you had 10 right. golfers with a shot of the lead, and then it changed. So before we let you go, I was just to circle back to Rahm, because we talk about, you know, Koepka and DeChambeau not getting along. Rahm seems like a likable figure. And what was the reaction to what happened to him 2 weeks ago? You know, to basically lose what was almost certainly going to be a $1.7 million payday.
Right.
I mean, did he get a lot of support from the other golfers after that?
Yeah, he did. I mean, he's a very well-liked player on tour. And, you know, the one knock on him, and I don't even think it's a knock, is that he loses his temper from time to time. And you know, we all do on the golf course, right? And, you know, he was even asked about, for whatever reason, even though almost everybody out there that happens, he gets asked about it constantly. And even this week, he was asked about it. And he said, am I ever going to dodge this question? I mean, are people ever going to stop asking this question? And probably they're not, because, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, first impressions make a lot. I guess he did lose his cool when he was a little younger, but no, I mean, he's a great guy. He's a class golfer, a class act. You know, he took a lot of heat these last few years because the expectations on these young guys are so much higher now. And when you have other guys around him, you know, a Bryson or a Colin Morikawa or, you know, these other younger guys even winning majors before him, that puts even more heat on him. And then you get his mentor, Phil Mickelson, winning a major at 50, and he's probably thinking, geez, when am I going to get one? So, you know, a surprisingly amount of pressure on a guy who's only 26, but for him to get the monkey off his back was great to see. Again, he's world number one for a reason. We got plenty more years to watch him try to win these big events, and this is just the beginning, I think.
Yeah, and the best thing to do when you lose that on a $1.7 million payday is to 2 weeks later get a $2.25 million payday. that kind of eases the blow a little bit. So
yeah. It does, exactly.
Alex, appreciate the time. Take care.
You got it. Thanks for having me on.